Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Hawks Talk podcast. I'm Pat Boyle with CSN. Whiteside with former Blackhawk, 2013 Stanley Cup champion. See him on Blackhawks pre and post game. Jamal Mayers, what's up?
Good to be here.
Good to be with you. Good to see the Hawks back in the win column once again. Come back from that seven-game, two-week road trip. You never know exactly how they're going to come out and play. It's usually kind of one of those lackluster efforts. And I think against the Florida Panthers, they had some brief spurts where they carried play. But I think you could say probably Florida carried the play most of the night. But as Joel Quenneville said in the post-game remarks, they find ways to win, and that's been a theme throughout the start of this season.
It's an early trademark for this team that's really learning their way. And, you know, think about all the one-goal games that they've been a part of so far this season. I think they've done a great job of learning on the job. A lot of these younger players brought a lot of great energy tonight, and they found a way to get it done. On the heels of Corey Crawford's fantastic effort, but again, you're right. It's about the resilience. It's about the willingness for this group to find a way to get the 2 points.
And they've done it with some injuries, namely Jonathan Toews being out now 3 consecutive games, out with the upper body injury. We hear it is not a concussion. We can only speculate with what we saw, how he went down hard on his side in San Jose. But like you take a look at that Florida game, and the two lines that stood out was the Triple H line, the Hinostroza, Hartman, Hossa line, and also Panik, Kruger, and Rasmussen. We made a point to talk about Dennis Rasmussen, you did, in the pregame show. And, you know, Richard Panik, who started this season, he's a leading goal scorer a week and a half into the NHL season, had not had a goal in 17 games. Boy, did he break out in a big way Tuesday night.
Yeah, confidence is a funny thing for any player, and I think that there's no question, having not scored for a long time, it affected his game. It affected how he wanted to carry the puck, how he was not shooting the puck. But I think he just made a decision somehow, and he was engaged early on in this hockey game physically and mentally, and had his legs moving. And, you know, it's funny how confidence really can turn things around, because after he scored that goal, you could see the proverbial monkey off his back. And, he seemed to sustain a lot of pressure and create a lot more opportunities because of it.
And, you know, he gains confidence. The coach gains confidence, putting him third in the shootout in an unfamiliar spot for him. But Panik cashes in and ends up bookending this game with a goal, his seventh, and then the shootout game winner. Other things that stood out, how about the power play? And not just the lack of production. They go 0-for-2 against the Panthers. But the quality chances they give up the other way. They've allowed 5 shorthanded goals this season. I think they allowed 3 or 4 all of last year. So this has been a theme. What are you seeing? Why are they giving up quality chances going the other way?
Well, it's a couple things. I think it has to do with lack of sense of urgency and then execution. And I think you have to outwork the penalty killers, and that means being crisp, being deliberate, moving the puck quickly, having motion so that you're not stagnant and being predictable. And then you have to execute. You have to execute your passes, and you have to make good plays with the understanding that, and having that shot first mentality. I think when you lack that sense of urgency, the penalty killers can smell that and sniff that out, and they will pressure you and they will be more aggressive, because that's the better play than to give skilled players more time. So I think the Hawks just have to get grittier and simplify things a little bit on the power play, and that'll open things up That'll open the seams up. That'll create second chance opportunities where the skill can then take over.
On the flip side, the Hawks' penalty kill, it allowed the Jager goal to start the third period. An unfortunate play where Seabrook hits the deck off the Marchessault shot, and then Jager knocks in his fourth. But how about the penalty kill to start overtime? Patrick Kane goes out. It's now, instead of 3-on-3, it's a 4-on-3 to start the overtime session. And that was, you know, a huge, huge kill.
Well, yeah, and you think about who was on the ice, and you think Marcus Kruger obviously won a huge draw to start the penalty kill in overtime. And then you think about the play of Nick Jalmerson in the corner, winning his battle, getting that puck behind the net to Duncan Keith, who won his battle to get the puck out of the zone. And so there's a certain amount of sacrifice. Those guys certainly take pride in playing in those situations, and give them credit. Corey made huge saves as well in overtime shorthanded. But that was a huge challenge, something that they can build a lot of confidence off of, even though it was a different situation, being that it was 4-on-3.
While we monitor Jonathan Toews, and again, Joel was a little, kind of in the dark when it came to revealing when we'd see the Jonathan Toews. You know, originally it was he could have played Saturday in Los Angeles. Now we're looking at maybe plays Thursday. So Anisimov took a shot off the stick of Duncan Keith off the boot. Looked like it could be either in the ankle region or right around the foot. Didn't sound like that. It was too serious. So, you know, the one thing with the surplus of players up with the team, they've been able to navigate through, you know, Desjardins' injury, TVR. I mean, it's been, you know, kind of these have been spread out over, you know, the first 2 months of the season.
Yeah, and no disrespect to those players. They certainly don't have the cachet and aren't as meaningful minute-wise and situationally as Jonathan Toews and Anisimov. So I think it's encouraging, reading between the lines of what Joel had to say, that Anisimov appears to be okay. I mean, not to say that he's not going to be sore, but I think that it looked like he'll be fine from what Joel was saying. I think that's certainly encouraging. And I would agree that you're a little bit more uncertain about what Jonathan, when Taser will be back. And he'll certainly have to have a few practices, not having skated for almost 4 or 5 days now.
One thing the Hawks improved in when Toews went down in the San Jose game, and then prior to the Florida puck drop, they had lost or had only won 33% of the draws. When we're talking about all these games being decided in overtime, you lose the puck in overtime, you're losing a minute or so of offensive opportunity. So they did make a strong improvement. I think it was 53% of the draws they won against. So that was like Rasmussen, Kruger, Anisimov to a degree. But that's an area that, you know, that's where you miss Toews the most. He's winning 61% of his draws this year.
Yeah, he's third in the entire NHL, and I think that he's, you know, it's about compete. And I think as a centerman, you have to take pride, number one, in taking faceoffs. But it's also about the collective. You've got to get help from the other four guys on the ice, and I think that's something that the coach has certainly stressed. And there were a lot of times where they won battles to get a tie and got help. And I think that they were successful doing that, and they have to continue doing that. And that's just an opportunity. If I'm Rasmussen, if I'm Kruger, if I'm Desjardins, I'm looking at that saying, this is an opportunity for me to take pride in taking faceoffs and get myself on the ice. I can think back to watching Mike Eastwood when I played starting my career, and I realized that he ended up being on the ice in the last couple of minutes of the game. And I said, how am I going to get on the ice? And it wasn't to score a goal, but if I could get on the ice to win a faceoff offensively or defensively, it was another way to chip away some more ice time. So hopefully these other guys, these young guys, take pride in it and look at it as an opportunity.
The Hawks now will host the New Jersey Devils on Thursday night. They go to South Philly for a matinee game on Saturday, then back to the United Center Sunday against Winnipeg. As you've watched the NHL to start this season, do you see a bit of the balance of power shifting towards the East?
Well, I think it's there's certainly more depth. I think the real issue to me was the top teams were always comparable in the top three in each conference, but there was certainly a lot more depth in the West than there was in the East. I think that's changed. I think there are, you know, now a handful, five, six, seven teams that are considered elite teams in the East. And I think the same teams, perhaps even a couple fewer in the West. So I think that it's become the strength of power has shifted. I wouldn't say it's totally in favor of the East, but the depth has certainly improved.
Great stuff, Jammer. Thanks for joining us on the Hawks Talk podcast. We'll see you Thursday at the United Center before the Hawks and Devils go at it.
Looking forward to it.
CSN Sports Talk Live podcast brings you the freshest takes and boldest insights on the hottest topics of the day.
David Kaplan leads the conversation with a rotating panel of writers, reporters, and personalities.
Don't miss a single episode. Subscribe at csnchicago.com/podcasts today.
Back on the Hawks Talk podcast, I'm Pat Boyle from CSN telling you the upcoming Blackhawks games. Thursday, December 1st, the Hawks host the Devils. We will have that game for you on CSN. Our coverage begins at 7 o'clock with Blackhawks pregame live. Saturday, Hawks are in Philadelphia, the team they knocked off back in 2010 to win the Stanley Cup. That game will be over on WGN. That is a 12 noon Chicago time faceoff. Then Sunday, the Winnipeg Jets are in town. 5:30, our coverage begins on CSN. And by the way, you can find all our podcasts at csnchicago.com/podcasts. Subscribe to our iTunes channel from there. You can also follow at CSN Hawks, where every episode is posted along with all your daily Hawks Talk news and stories. Back on the Hawks Talk podcast, Pat Boyle from CSN, joined by our Blackhawks insider from csnchicago.com, Tracy Myers. Hi, Tracy. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, thank you. Back from the circus trip. Good to see you.
I am. I'm still a little jet laggy, I think. It takes about 3 days to kind of get over that trip.
I know, and you're not playing hockey. So
exactly.
You wonder how these guys deal with it. And it was like you said before we started this podcast, like it's kind of the typical post circus trip blah, and I'll be honest, it's kind of been indicative a lot of this season. And Joel said best, it's like we find ways to win.
Yeah.
And the reason why they find ways to win is because Corey keeps them in these games.
Yeah.
Till somebody else can light the lamp and find a way.
There's no doubt. I kind of joked with people on Twitter the first period. I said, okay, it's another game where they're getting outshot, so give it another minute or two and they'll still somehow be leading the game. And I think it was about 2 minutes later when Ponick scored. But full marks to Crawford for that first period. And he faced some pretty decent shots in that first period. You know, the Panthers, obviously the upheaval that they were going through, were probably trying to prove things to themselves and to their new head coach, GM. But, you know, Crawford keeps you in it. And then you get a break, and then you get that beautiful long pass from Rasmussen to Ponick and a finish. And the next thing you know, the Blackhawks are ahead. So, yeah, they just kind of trudge their way through these first periods. But when you have Crawford goaltending the way he is, it works.
Well, we've talked a lot about the young guys, and again, they've done a nice job. Each guy kind of at different times taking the torch and doing something significant. But how about the guys that were here last year? You know, Panic comes over, trade deadline from Toronto.
Yep.
Was a Toronto Marley.
Yeah.
And then even Rasmussen, who got some looks last year, it looks like it's one of those, that line, Kruger, Rasmussen, Panic, was a difference maker against the Panthers. And it's like, you know, we know Kruger knows his role, whatever, but it's like to see Panic and Rasmussen hear what the team wants them to do and then go out and execute, that's another bright spot to the start of the season.
Well, absolutely. You know, especially when you look at the injuries the Blackhawks have. But regardless, even if everybody was healthy, I think one of the big problems last year was where was the secondary scoring. The second line did so much. And you know, the first line was kind of a topsy-turvy thing for so long last year when they were trying to figure out a left wing. You need secondary scoring. Ponick looked great tonight, and Coach Joe Quenneville, among the skaters, he said he was the best guy across the board in terms of skating, and he was ready from the start, like the way he was playing the last couple of games on that circus trip. So he kind of sensed that it was just a matter of time until he broke through. But you need the bottom six guys, or the role players, whatever you want to call them. This is where the Blackhawks in the past, with the exception of last year, have been able to do so much, because their depth has always been so much better than other teams. Last year, you were relying so much on your second line, top line, and when they couldn't get through it, there was nobody else to buoy them. So this is what you need, and this is what you get. And you're not going to get a ton every night, but little contributions here and there help this team tremendously.
You spoke to Corey Crawford and Richard Panik in the dressing room afterwards. Anything stick out from either of those conversations?
With Crawford, he was just talking about how good he felt. Talking about he was surprised if Vinny Hinostroza inadvertently tripped him up.
And yeah, that was a dicey play.
It was, yeah. And Quenneville thought he was hurt at first, Crawford was joking about it afterward and saying, "Yeah, I'll have a little talk with him." But Crawford is very comfortable right now, and you can tell obviously in his play. There's only been one game, really, and he mentioned it. I believe it was the Edmonton game where he said, "You know what? I just didn't feel good from the start."
Right from like a minute in, he left a soft goal.
Clearly didn't feel good from the start, but they've been so few and far between. And even this morning, even Tuesday morning, you know, at skate, I don't know if he got knocked over by a shot or if he got knocked over by a teammate, but he was down for a couple of seconds. You're thinking, oh, boy. Coach Joe Quenneville said he was ready. Clearly he was. Crawford understands his role, and especially in a game like this when it's been a couple days since he played. Friday was his last game, so he's gotten a little bit extra rest, and he knew that it was going to be a situation where, okay, these guys are going to be depending on me that much more after the back-to-back, and so he was up to the task.
All right, you had your Joel Quenneville Dakota ring on as we discuss the injury situation. You know, we thought there was a chance that Taves was going to play in Los Angeles to end the road trip. Clearly that didn't happen. So where, because it sounded like Thursday's not exactly crystal clear either.
Yeah, you know, I how much of this is it's an injury? Well, any injury you want to be very careful with, and especially with one of your top guys. First of all, despite missing him, you're finding a way to get points. Right. You need Jonathan Taves as much as possible, but you especially need him, you know, in the later months and everything. So if you can get him a little bit extra rest, a little precautionary at the start of the season, I don't think that's so bad. You're not even skating him right now. So, you know, that's why I wonder if he's even going to do anything on Thursday. I was walking to skate this morning, and he was walking out. So you knew right away, oh, okay, he's not playing. But I just wonder how much the Blackhawks need to be careful with him. Just don't rush it if you don't have to. Now, with Anisimov, you know, most of the time when Q says we'll see what happens the next day, he usually keeps it pretty vague, and he sounded like he was optimistic about Anisimov, that they, you know, gave it a good look, and, you know, it looks like he'll be okay, which is good, because he didn't go off right away.
Right.
Looked like Anisimov stayed on the bench for a little bit, and so you assume they got x-rays and everything, and then everything's okay, because if this team goes down two centers, if any team goes down two centers, that's going to be tough. And as far as TVR is concerned, it sounds like they still want to give him a couple more days. He's more likely to play on the weekend, not Thursday.
All right, so now the Hawks get set for a couple of Eastern Conference foes, and then Winnipeg is here on Sunday. You know, your thoughts as you make your way around the NHL, we've had just a few encounters against Eastern Conference teams. They seem to be getting better. There seems to be I don't know if it's the Wings going over to the East, bringing that style, Yzerman going to Tampa, and keeping up with the Joneses, the thuggery, but, you know, like the big hits, heavy teams seem to be moving aside, and it's all about speed, which, you know, that's how the Penguins won the Stanley Cup last year.
Sure. Well, and it's how the Blackhawks have won a couple of theirs. You know, when L.A. won, everybody was talking about, oh, you need the big physical. No, you don't. Yeah. You need to go with what works for your team and what personnel you have and everything. You have Montreal, who is got a little bit more offense this year. That was certainly what they were lacking. Carey Price is Carey Price. Right. That never hurts. So yeah, it's something, because we were talking about this earlier. A couple of us were so used to the West being so good. West isn't as good this year. It's very surprising. You know, this division alone, credit the Blackhawks for what they've been able to do, but Dallas has gotten dinged up, and they've been struggling. Nashville's been playing better. St. Louis has been playing a little bit better. Colorado, bleh. But the East has been very surprising. And speaking of sluggish games, you know you're going to get one against the Devils because of that trap game that they play. So, it's going to be a little mucky, and that's just the way it is. And it's going to be another game where they're just going to have to grind it out.
Tracy Myers, great stuff as always. We'll catch your work at csnchicago.com. Follow you on Twitter, and we'll talk to you on the next Hawks Talk podcast.
Well done. Thank you.
All right. That's going to do it for this edition of the Hawks Talk podcast. Remember, find all our podcasts. csnchicago.com/podcast. Subscribe to our iTunes channel from there. You can also follow at CSN Hawks, where every episode is posted along with all our daily Hawks Talk news stories from the one and only Tracy Myers. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.